2540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Americans are headed out in record numbers for the holiday weekend. Correspondent Chris Van Cleve is at the airport in Los Angeles. He says flight issues are minimal.
Labor Day weekend, are you concerned about where things stand?
Well, we're always concerned because we know we're just one unexpected event, glitch, or storm away from there being some real issues.
But Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says improving staffing and airlines cutting some summer flights created a buffer against disruptions.
This summer was a test of the recovery of our aviation system, and the results have been remarkable.
Something else that's remarkable?
All this traveling people did, they really worked up an appetite. Between Memorial Day and Labor Day, Americans ate 818 hot dogs a second.
Businesses are still hiring at a steady clip. Employers added a solid 187,000 jobs in August, same as the month before. Unemployment edged up from 3.5% to 3.8%. John Waldman at small business provider Homebase.
What struck me first was seeing that unemployment rate go up, which I guess if you're the Fed is good news. Now, it's important to remember that's still a pretty historically low level.
The Fed taking it all into consideration ahead of this month's decision on interest rates. Police in Pennsylvania searching for a convicted murderer who escaped from the Chester County prison near Philadelphia yesterday. Acting warden Howard Holland.
He had prison issued garb on, and then when he left the facility, it was a white t-shirt with green pants, and then we had confirmation that he may have changed into gray shorts.
No word on how Danilo Cavalcante got out, but he was sentenced last week for stabbing his ex-girlfriend to death in front of her two young children. Hawaii Governor Josh Green says the state is opening investigations into investors buying up land from survivors of the Maui wildfire.
So if someone's swooped in, say, and bought 15 lots because they hope to build a mega house on the beach, they made a big mistake, because when we find out that they took advantage of somebody, there's not going to be approvals for them.
More books are being removed from school libraries in Florida. CBS West Palm Beach's Katie Benty was at last night's meeting.
We were looking at the books in the schools and doing keyword searches. Rape, incest, pedophilia.
One by one, excerpts seen as obscene were read aloud to the board. Under Florida law, an interruption during a reading calls for the book to be immediately taken off the shelves. And that's exactly what happened every time. Board members unanimously agreed to remove all books read during the meeting.
Katie Benty in Indian River, Florida. S&P futures up 24. This is CBS News.
Eggland's Best. The only eggs with more fresh and delicious taste, plus superior nutrition. Because the way we care is anything but ordinary. Only Eggland's Best.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. It's not known yet when you can get back on the hop. The reopening of the streetcar in the Wisconsin and Brady intersection remains uncertain after a water main break caused significant damage. There's concerns about the safety of the ground beneath that intersection. City crews closed the intersection and halted hop service on Wednesday afternoon. Wisconsin hunters are preparing for numerous opening days in September. Brittany Merlot has more about what you can look for starting today.
You can target early Canadian goose, teal mourning dove, rail, and snipe. And on Wednesday the 6th, bear season begins. Saturday, September 16th, the northern zone for cottontail rabbit, deer archery goose, turkey, and youth waterfowl open. Anyone born on or after January 1st of 1973 must have a hunter education certificate to purchase a hunting license.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Experience the magic. Joy Engine presents Nightlight, Friday and Saturday, September 8th and 9th,
from 5 until 10:30 p.m. The dazzling live spectacle brings 4D projection mapping technology to Milwaukee's iconic historic Mitchell neighborhood. A multi-story building at 710 West Historic Mitchell Street will serve as the mesmerizing backdrop for the show. Nightlight will feature a fashion show, a variety of local vendors, dance performances, and music. After sundown, the event will set the grounds alight with an amazing motion graphic show. Families with children will have plenty of options to indulge in memory-making activities throughout the festival's run, including a life-size light bright wall and a hands-on multilingual exhibit presented by PNC Bank. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event, Nightlight, presented by Joy Engine, where art comes to life. Log on joyengine.org. That's joyengine.org.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy. Sandy, the teacher shortage in this nation, you predicted a while back. And we have created this situation, many of us who have condemned, criticized, beat up on teachers over the last decade or so. Hey, they don't work a full year. They're always whining and crying. They're begging for this. They're asking for that. Teachers aren't doing this. Teachers aren't doing that. That people aren't going into education anymore, Sandy, because they've been made to be some kind of villains.
Well, why do we wonder why that is when, number one, teacher pay barely gets them to median income in the United States? But in exchange for that, they have to go through 4 years of college and probably a year of graduate school in order to secure the kind of job they want. So they have to be highly trained. They are modestly paid. And not in today's world, their lives are made miserable by political interference, by lack of respect, by, you know, many teachers are essentially afraid to go out in the community because of the unpleasantness yes. that they are met with. So instead of being, you know, it used to be that the teachers in the 1920s, the teachers in the schoolhouses were respected parts of the community. They were invited to dinner at the households of their children, of the children they taught. They were very respected parts of the community. That's not the case anymore. So we scratch our heads and wonder, why aren't there more teachers? Well, the fact is, I bought a pair of running shoes a couple of days ago from a very nice young woman who was well trained, had been a music teacher. Now she was fitting shoes because teaching was just too difficult,
unbearable.
And so, you know, we need to figure out. You know, we need to. We think we have this world that's set up in a world of marketplace set up by incentives. Well, what are the incentives
to become a teacher,
right? And then we scratch our heads because essentially there are zero positive incentives and plenty of negative incentives about teaching, and we scratch our heads and say, why aren't there enough teachers?
Well, our kids are behind. They're not doing well, and so they're falling behind all the other nations and our children because of the teachers. This is what you hear. Right? And you're blaming teachers for all the negative things that are happening with young people and the educational systems, it's all because of the people who are there.
Well, you know, it doesn't take any sort of genius survey arrangement to figure out that the children who are falling behind in school fit into socioeconomic frameworks of people who are in the lower half of the medians, below the median income families in the United States. Those kids are falling behind. Above the median income, they're doing just fine, you know. We have this division in wealth and the division between the haves and the have-nots with respect to money. That same sort of division is occurring with respect to schooling between the haves and the have-nots.
Well, and to say that the educator who's dealing with the lower socioeconomic run is different than the one who's succeeding at the higher economic.
No.
It's a misnomer.
It's just missing the point.
Right.
Teachers are that they are all trained in the same way. The criteria for getting there are the same. The situation they face in the school is different, way different. And it's the situation faced in the school that has far more to do with the outcomes in the schools than it is the teachers, okay? And so, you know, we need to deal with the situation faced by teachers in schools.
Let's go to Ken from, good morning to you, Ken. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, that's the public schools that are failing. According to NPR, private schools do have a shortage of teachers, but public school is far greater. It's the public schools. It's not the private schools. It's the public schools that are failing.
Well, let me say, Ken, that's an argument for, I guess, choice and moving kids to private schools. But the private schools, it's a self-selected process. Like I said, socioeconomically, the people who go to private schools socioeconomically are in a different socioeconomic situation than the kids who go to public schools. And, you know, vouchers have some impact on that, but not a great deal. The fact is that socioeconomics is the best corollary to success. And so I think you're making the argument I was making, not necessarily disputing it. Public schools do have a more disproportionate number of the below median income families, students in them, at least in the urban setting. Public schools are doing just great, incidentally, in suburban settings.
Ken?
Yes. Yeah, I'm just stating that. Yeah, it's you always hear schools are failing. It's mostly the public schools that are failing.
Yeah, okay.
Private schools.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Earl, first off, we the people ultimately are the government. We must never forget that. Ken. First off, when you strip the money out of the public schools, which was for all of we the people, doesn't turn anyone down, and you now go and you give it to the private schools and to the charter schools, well, yeah, you're not going to have as great of a public school because the money is going into a different pot. That's number one. Number two, the problem with teaching has become the corporatization and the privatization of schools. You have people sitting on school boards now that basically won an election because they put a bunch of money into an election, and they were actually picked by big billion-dollar donors at this point. We also have a problem, especially in the state of Wisconsin. When Act 10 came along, sorry, that screwed everybody in Wisconsin, not just the teachers, but the people themselves, because the kids were not getting the education. When you go into teaching, and one of the biggest things I know, because I have over 8 different people that are teachers in my family, and they've all retired basically now because they're not going to put up with this anymore
in the state
of Wisconsin because of the fact that their pensions are gone. Any security that they had when they retire it's not like it was years ago when my dad was a teacher and you know, they had their health benefits afterwards. And now they have to go through a private corporate place to get their even their health insurance. One of the reasons people wanted to teach them was, one, they loved it, but two, was security for the future. Wasn't like they're getting paid a lot. It was just that the security for the future was going to be there. Well, now that's gone. And then on top of it, if you have any teachers that actually speak out about some of the injustices that are happening, oh boy, let's shut them up right
you know,
away.
But
let's get them to do virtual teaching. Let's get them out of the school because they might affect other people.
Well, the other thing, Tom, is it was a respected career. And so people respected teachers. And now teachers, I know I've talked to many, teachers have to worry about being out in the public and people cursing them and threatening them and, you know, and blaming them for all the ills that happen. And the fact that, you know, kids aren't learning as much as they used to learn, and all that is pointed, and those fingers are pointed at educators.
And on top of that, what else you got is, just to give an example, someone in my family in Wisconsin was a teacher, but then had to pick up a second job as a server at a restaurant. And, of course, the people that are coming into the restaurant are the students or the parents of the students, which, again, talk about lack of respect because now they're on a lower rung. It is so messed up, and I'm telling you what, the state of Wisconsin and Scott Walker, what he did to that state is absolutely criminal.
Criminal
not only to the teachers, but every person that has a student in the school.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Morning, gentlemen. A lot of Toms you call. Three quick things. One, Mitch McConnell, we need him in office until the election, because he is one of the few people who are actually trying to block MAGA from getting out of hand. Two, didn't Trump set the date for withdrawal from Afghanistan? And how many years were we in Afghanistan? The logistics of getting everything out of there wasn't possible. And the third thing, as far as teaching goes, do you not think that this is all by some design, some long-term goal of, like, Republicans to destroy education and keep the voters dumb so we don't see that? And, I mean, I would never want to be a teacher just because of all the nut jobs out there now, these Moms for Liberty or whatever they're called, those and other things that are going on there. Oh, this teacher taught this. Well, my kid can't learn that. I would never want to be a teacher either. But again, isn't this all, don't you think this is all from some design to keep the population ignorant towards everything?
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call as always. Got to go to a break. Sandy, I'll let you respond on the other side. We'll be right back.
And if you're trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shirt together, gonna polish up our act well. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Nothing stand in your way. I want y'all to
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Eyes level off around 82 this afternoon under sunny skies. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Clear skies and quiet again tonight. Lows dip down to about 59. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow. Highs level off around 89. Temperatures well above average Sunday and Monday with highs in the mid-90s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Hite. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go to KJ. Hey, good morning to you, KJ. You say what?
Good morning. There's so many issues and so little time. You know, I'd like to just say a shout-out to CJ there. Keep calling in. Don't make sure you hold these two accountable. I'd like to get some basic facts earlier in the show. Let's start in the domestic front here. You're talking about employers are having trouble finding workers, and then 30 minutes later, you talk about all these Americans are struggling. Unions went down, so wages went down. Well, the union membership went down, but wages and pay has gone up for the American workers. You can just go, you don't have to guess, just go look at per capita income. Over the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years, it's gone up, not down. In my own experience, not only has our wages gone up, but our health care has gone up. When I started, we didn't have dental, we didn't have eye care, we didn't have prescription drugs. We have all of that covered by our health care plan now. My pension multiplier has gone up, not down, increasing the amount of money.
Hey, KJ, before you get too far down the road, the amount of people who have pensions has dwindled. You can speak about what's happening to you and a small segment of the population, but that is not representative of the masses of the American workers. Sandy, is it safe to say that?
Well, yeah, the difference between anecdotal information, meaning stuff that you might know personally in your own awareness, and what is going on nationally on average. You say per capita income has gone up. Yes, real income. That's the comparison of the rise in income as compared to the rise of inflation. Real income has been stagnant for a very long time. In fact, it's just this last quarter when they've reported now that income rose at 4.4% at a time when inflation was at 3.2%. In this particular period, yes, real income has gone up. But real income from 1990 to the period 2020 was very stagnant, particularly in the middle income category. So I just think you have to be careful, KJ, about anecdotal information, stuff that's specific to an audience of people that you might have personal familiarity with, and the actual broad demographic information, which is different.
Well, again, you don't have basic facts correct. Go look at per capita income, Bureau of Economic Affairs, and the Department of Labor. This is where the numbers come from. A per capita income is adjusted for inflation.
Well,
I actually proved this on a show that that Earl hosted earlier in his career.
Real income has gone up, and it's also gone down in various periods. What is the time period that you're comparing for the real income growth? You're saying it went up. It went up from what year to what year? What are the time periods you're comparing?
It stagnates during great recessions like the one we had from 08, 09, 2000.
No. Starting in what year and ending in what year did real income go up in the United States?
Well,
let's move on from this because, you know, this is more in depth than we have time for. There was something else.
Well, let's go to the international front. President Biden has done a great job. Now, it is true that Putin did invade Ukraine, but it has been nothing short of a disaster for him. It has ruined his entire army. He's got nobody on the international markets willing to do business with him anymore. China is beginning to suffer from this same dilemma as most international investors and businesses are pulling out, or at least not investing in China, because of their authoritarian rule. You know, Putin is in so much trouble. He had a coup attempt against him. It was unsuccessful, and it looks like Putin has gotten his vengeance against the person who perpetrated it, sad to say. But Russia has been stopped for their invasion of Ukraine, and even though China has increased its rhetoric and its threats against Taiwan, President Biden has put together a great coalition from South Korea to Japan to the Philippines, not to mention the United States, not to mention Vietnam and India are also now joining against China. He is putting a great coalition together. He's doing
a great job.
The question, to oppose China's force of Taiwan to be part of communist China. And I repeat, and I say factually, Taiwan has never been a part of communist China, despite the one China policy.
All right, CJ, we don't have enough time. Sandy, you want to respond to any of that? Sandy, hang on from Kenosha. We'll come to you. Sandy, you want to respond? All right, okay. So we've got to go to a break. Sandy, hang on. We'll be right back.
It's been so long.
Yeah.
your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A busy holiday travel weekend is underway. CBS's Chris Van Cleve is in L.A.
Baba Javier is driving from Los Angeles to Arizona.
I'm not going to let the gas prices affect what we do right now. It does hurt. Not going to lie.
The average price for a gallon of regular in California today is $5.30 a gallon. Hiring cooled last month and the unemployment rate edged up from 3.5 to 3.8%. John Waldman's home base helps staff small businesses.
We saw really big impacts in the course of July and August with fewer people working, businesses closing, and hours being reduced in places where there was extreme heat.
CBS Philadelphia's Kerry Corrado says there's a manhunt for a convicted murderer who escaped from a prison near Philadelphia yesterday.
Investigators did not go into exact detail about how he was able to physically escape. They say if you do see him, to call police immediately.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. It could be a record-breaking Labor Day weekend. High heat will kick in today with temperatures Sunday forecasted to reach the upper 90s, followed by mid-90s on Labor Day Monday. The National Weather Service recommends staying indoors during the peak heat hours and staying well hydrated. It's projected that temperatures will return to normal levels later in the following week. Brookfield, Pewaukee, Waukesha, and the surrounding areas are now connected with a new bike and pedestrian path. Melissa Kay has more.
The Fox River Trail has been officially opened, and it follows the route of the historic Milwaukee and Waukesha Railroad. The 3-mile trail spanning from Pewaukee to Brookfield has been in planning for several years. Its opening was celebrated this week with a ribbon-cutting ceremony led by Waukesha County officials and local authorities.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Experience the magic. Joy Engine presents Nightlight, Friday and Saturday, September 8th and 9th, from 5 until 10:30 p.m. The dazzling live spectacle brings 4D projection mapping technology to Milwaukee's iconic historic Mitchell neighborhood. A multi-story building at 710 West Historic Mitchell Street will serve as the mesmerizing backdrop for the show. Nightlight will feature a fashion show, a variety of local vendors, dance performances, and music. After sundown, the event will set the grounds alight with an amazing motion graphic show. Families with children will have plenty of options to indulge in memory-making activities throughout the festival's run, including a life-size light bright wall and a hands-on multilingual exhibit presented by PNC Bank. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event, Nightlight, presented by Joy Engine, where art comes to life. Log on joyengine.org. That's joyengine.org. Imagine wearing a shirt that's either too big or too small. That just doesn't feel right. And when it comes to your Medicare coverage plan, Smart Medicare Solutions understands that one size does not fit all. Your plan should be meticulously tailored to meet your specific needs. With a wide range of insurance providers to choose from, Smart Medicare Solutions can help find your perfect Medicare fit. Get clear, objective advice by logging on smartmedicaresolutions.com. Smart Medicare Solutions, guiding you through Medicare with generations of expertise.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Sometimes we're not prepared for adversity. When it happens, sometimes we're caught short. We don't know exactly how to handle it when it comes up. Sometimes we don't know just what to do when adversity takes over. And I have advice for all of us. I got it from our pianist, Joe Zawinul, who wrote this tune. And it sounds like what you're supposed to say when you have that kind of problem. It's called Mercy. 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 Jacob,
the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Let's go to Cindy from Kenosha. Hey, Cindy, thank you very much for calling. You say what?
Hi. I'm calling in because I heard you talking about the teachers, and my husband's not a teacher, but he does maintenance at a school, and it's an elementary school, and the kids are not in a very rich neighborhood, and some of these teachers have put in to get these kids coats and boots for the winter time. There's a lady that comes in and makes breakfast for these kids. They have about 50 kids that come in the morning at 6 o'clock because their parents go to work early, and they drop them off there. They get breakfast, and they, you know, they get a lot of things that they wouldn't ordinarily have. And the teachers are mainly the ones that spend their money out of their own pockets to help these kids and to get them supplies that they don't have. The people in the area where he works have voted down raising the budget so that these schools have a little bit more money to take care of things. And they, I don't understand why they cut down a budget that these kids need. There's more kids every day, and every day we're going to need a little bit bigger schools and a little bit more money to help these kids. And the kids are the future, and that's why, you know, it's an important thing. People just don't seem to understand how important it is and what the teachers do.
You know, Cindy, your call is a great call. And I don't think Sandy or I could have said it better. Sandy, you, what you were just saying.
Well, and also the future, her mentioning the future. Our politics have to start vesting their interest in our futures and in the future of these young people. And their futures involve daycare, preschool care, education, sound education, sufficient funding for all the things that will sustain their futures, so that they don't graduate into a world of student debt, student loans, and a world in which they don't have the opportunities that we all had. And so it's a wonderful call, but I think it's a plea that we all have to make, to try and make sure that our politicians now vest themselves in the future. And I suspect part of that is getting younger people and getting fresh people into Washington, people who aren't being responsive to lobbyists but are being responsive to Tom, Dick, and Mary. And I, by that, I mean Tommy, Dickie, and Mary, yeah, the little ones.
You know, Sandy, today in the USA Today, emergency child care funding is about to end. Expect more daycares to hike prices and close. You've been constantly talking about daycare. Child care has long been unaffordable and inaccessible for many Americans, costing parents over $10,000 per year on average, while more than half of the population lives in child care deserts with insufficient supply. Industry advocates warn that the situation could grow even more dire in the months to come. Why is that something that we just totally ignore?
How our priorities are so warped when we look at how we spend our money and what we focus our attention on. You were talking about how it is that many little kids, first graders now, are getting to school and can't do the alphabet or know basic math, yeah. Right? And that's not the way it ought to be, and that's not the way it would be if we had broad-scale availability for preschool care and daycare, because properly handled preschool care and daycare deals with those kinds of things during the periods of care. And, you know, we maybe have families who aren't currently providing that sort of support, but if the children had available to them daycare and preschool care that did, they'd all have a better shot. And there's proof that children who get to school in first grade and have that kind of fundamental information do better. Kids who have preschool care and preschool training do better for life.
But, Sandy, if we have the mentality that you had the children, that's your responsibility, and it's not my responsibility, you shouldn't have had the kids if you couldn't afford the daycare. we have that kind of conversation going on, Sandy, and it blinds us to the reality that if we don't do something while these children are young, all of us, it's going to impact all of us, whether they're your children or not.
Well, interestingly, parallel to that kind of thing, we also have a stream of politics which is against family planning. You know, the instructions associated with birth control, for instance, are under threat again,
right,
in many educational settings. So no family planning, but if you have kids, incidentally, it's your problem, not society's problem. We aren't going to help you. You need to do it yourself. it strikes me that if the evangelical movement really was invested in evangelical Christianity, they would be very involved with preschool care and all of the aspects associated with giving every child every opportunity to be a successful adult.
Well, because after all, they become adults. As you stated, we can't, on the one hand, talk about all the crime that is going on and not understand. We don't have to be Sandy Williams and have this aptitude to understand that if we don't do something about children when they're young and plan and prepare for them, we're going to wind up on the other side of this where we've got, well, lock them up. We need, you know, make the sentences longer. It's going to cost us more at that juncture, Sandy, with having to employ all the people who work in prisons, pay pensions and all those kind of things, than it does if we took care of this before.
Well, certainly. I mean, criminals aren't born. They evolve based on the environment into which they're born. And children don't choose the environment into which they're born. So you would think that we would all roll up our sleeves and decide that every child born requires that we offer every child born the opportunity and all the opportunities for success.
Yeah.
And so politically, how have we gotten so far removed from that mission that we're where we are today, which is not accepting of that concept whatsoever?
You know, Sandy, we have gone backwards. Again, I always refer to my family and the opportunities. Kids had a better opportunity, and the society offered early childhood education and other things. They knew it worked.
Well, you had 12 siblings.
Yeah, right.
You didn't worry about health care in your family.
No,
you didn't sit around the table worrying about whether you could go to the doctor or not if someone got sick. You went to the doctor if someone got sick because your father's union had taken care of health care.
We were never hungry because he made enough money to feed everyone.
And you didn't need daycare because your mother was home, okay? And so all of those things have changed today. And KJ can call in and say that real income has gone up, but the ability, the buying power of the dollar and the lifestyle and the standard of living has not kept pace, okay? And you can buy a big TV today, whether you're rich or poor, but there's an awful lot of other things that you can't afford.
Well, Sandy, I can tell you, housing, heating, during the winter, all of those things are really out of reach for a lot of people. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what, sir?
Again, happy Friday. It's the weekend's coming. I hope you guys are going to have a wonderful weekend. But moving forward, we have a culture of politicians that no longer believe humanitarianism is important. They believe profit and paying the people to keep the profits high. That's what life is about. Profit. Me. I. What are you going to do for me? That has changed dramatically because many of these people have never been through a world war. Many of these people haven't been through the riots that we had when we were young. They don't know what it means to look out for your brother or take care of children that have no means of helping themselves. But one guy that you know, quite well. In fact, I talk to him all the time. You got to have him on the air more. Get Larry Heisel on the air. Let him talk about what he does with kids in schools where they have no mother or father.
So let me say this, Bill. You know, Larry Heisel is a man who clearly understands I am my brother's keeper. Sandy made a statement a moment ago about the churches, and Sandy about the role that the churches should be taking in fighting this battle.
Well, yeah, I mean, the churches that are politically active, which is primarily the evangelicals, you would think that what they would be fighting would be for post-birth welfare of all the children that are brought into the world. I mean, right now we seem to be worried an awful lot about pre-birth welfare of the fetus, at least politically, but we don't seem to have anywhere near the same kind of rhetoric or political attention being paid to post-birth welfare. And so my view is let's put our money where our mouth is, and let's start talking an awful lot about that, because we could solve a lot of our problems, our crime problems, our societal problems, by just paying more attention to post-birth welfare.
And Sandy, exactly what you're talking about. I grew up through Christian education, better part of my life. I am so sick of people that they're against abortion. Now, I am too. But I'm also against the illegal or stopping the people at the border and turning them back to a certain death. I'm also totally against not to take care of children who have no means of really taking care of themselves, not to help students have student loans. If we invest in our youth, we invest in America. If we invest in the profits of corporation, we invest in an oligarchy, whatever, anarchy, whatever you want to call it. But that takes away the humanitarianism of our culture. We need to care about our neighbors first. Everything else will fall into place.
Hey, Bill.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Well, I got a bone to pick. As much as I like Sandy, and I really look forward to listening to him, and he's very smart, and I agree with a lot of stuff he says, but a couple of things I want to bring up. He said earlier about Crimea that he said, well, they're Russian-speaking people there, and you know, I understand that, you know, that Crimea was taken over. Well, the Russians went into a sovereign country, took over. It's like if all of a sudden the people from Illinois decided to take over, Kenosha. Well, people in my brother lives in Kenosha, and he watches WGN on television, and he listens to the sports and stuff like that. But he's still from Wisconsin. So Obama blew that one, and because of that, that's what the problems would happen in Ukraine, because he thought he'd get away with once Trump was president, he didn't try it. As soon as Biden got in there, then he came in there.
Gary, let me just speak to the, let's do this one at a time. I think you're done with the Crimea discussion. The history of Crimea is what I was talking about. You know, Crimea and the Donbass region.
Sandy, I need you to hold the thought. We got to go to a break. Gary, hang on. We'll let you carry you over to the other side. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Mercy, 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 mercy. Thank you.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunny skies this afternoon with a high of 82. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Clear skies again tonight. Lows level off around 59. Highs level off around 89. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Temperatures well above average Sunday and Monday with highs in the mid-90s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Welcome back to what is a fast-moving Friday edition of The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, you wanted to respond.
Yeah,
to
quick, just quickly now, like David. Gary, you were talking about the Crimea. When I was talking about Russian speakers in Crimea, I wasn't talking about currently. I was talking about the history of Crimea, and that has something to do with what I was saying is that Crimea has many Russian sympathizers residing there. And if Ukraine were to take it back over, they would end up with a situation much like they had in Donbass, which was a great deal of conflict between the Russian-leaning residents of Crimea and the Ukrainian nationalists. And so Crimea is fraught with that problem, just as the Donbass is. Crimea and Donbass were both part of the Russian Federation until 1954 within the Soviet Union, and Khrushchev changed the boundary arbitrarily because, in fact, he was a Ukrainian, and I think he was trying to throw a bone to Ukraine to give him that favor. But Crimea has always been very important to Russia strategically because of Sevastopol and the warm water port.
Gary, what else quickly?
It was part of Ukraine, and you can't just go out there and just start taking over. It's like the Mexicans wanting Texas back.
I wasn't talking about the correctness of it. I was talking about the facts of it and the situational problems that would exist one way or the other, whether Russia occupies Crimea or whether Ukraine occupies Crimea, it will be a contested place.
All right, quickly, Garrett, there's one other thing you wanted to say.
Yeah, there was, but I just wanted to just finish one point.
Oh, I know, but
we're done with Ukraine.
All right. The other point is you generalize the problem with not taking care of the little kids and that are like struggling in the inner city or wherever. And you said
as well as rural areas
the Christian right basically the
no I didn't blame the Christian right, Gary. No, look, let me just get this straight. I just said that I hoped the Christian right would devote as much political attention and rhetoric to solving the problems of the young people in this country as they have devoted to the issue of abortion. That's all. I didn't say they were causing it. I just said I thought there ought to be a lot more political attention paid to it.
But because you're not a evangelical, so you don't know that we're not doing these. We are doing these things. Our church donates money. We have food.
No, I talked about political attention, Gary. I don't disbelieve the churches themselves. Do a great deal.
Individual churches.
I'm just saying politically what we need is the attention paid to the priority of our American resources.
And children once they're here as well as before they're born. That's what he was saying.
let me ask you, do you think that basically the evangelicals are mostly Republicans? Would you basically say that?
Listen, we don't have enough time to get into that. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Marty. Hey, Marty, how you doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for the show, Earl. Always a pleasure. I'm a much better listener than a speaker, so I'm sorry for calling late.
Well, no, man, it's all right.
I may just once again try to get this out there. What is the plan? We have itemized everything: transportation, daycare, good food, education, infrastructure, senior living, race relations, finances, entertainment, higher education, retirement, crime, environment, airports, economic development, housing. All of these issues have been talked about, and they've been itemized as to what the problem is and some solutions that I think would work. My question is, why can we not come together and put together one plan which encompasses all of these issues? And by doing that all at the same table, at the same time, I think, and Sandy, I'd be interested, I think we'd gain synergies, we'd gain efficiencies, we'd gain economies of scale. We would bring people to the city to go to work. We would bring the banks to the table.
Jerry, you do speak well. So
Milwaukee and bring it back to where it should be.
Absolutely. You know,
hey, Marty, thank you, man. We got to run.
Marty, you've said it. You said it absolutely. And I think this network is designed to try and accomplish just what you're talking about. Try not only to talk about the problems, but to try and expose them, get people to agree on what the problems are so we can sit down at a table and disagree about the solutions until we come up with a solution we can agree upon. What we've spent all our time doing now is ignoring the acceptance of an agreement on the problems, okay? So if we could all agree, like you decide, you recited the list, and it was very fair and accurate. And if we could now get people to sit down at a table, regardless of their political backgrounds, and say, okay, these are problems, let's talk about solutions, we could move from food fight to productive, constructive discussions quite quickly.
You know,
and our economy would thrive as a result of it.
You know, Sandy, I have to say, the conversations, the ebb and flow is getting better with our show,
mm-hmm.
and the audience is growing. And so we're going to keep on having the dialogue. We do understand that the listeners are part of our show.
Yeah, and I'm sorry our show is too short so that someone like Gary was cut off there, because I think he was... Gary definitely calls in and he wants to talk about things and not argue about things, and I think that's exactly the direction we're trying to go.
And I always try to tell people to call in earlier,
uh-huh.
because it always seems, Sandy, as we get towards the end of the show, we get all the calls. And then we're up against, and the conversations that we're having are pretty in-depth, and so people want to, and we don't give people 30 seconds and cut them off. But at the same time, when we get to a certain point in time, we have to, kind of bring it to an end. But I want to say again, we'll be on the air 8 to 11 on Memorial Day at Labor Fest. We'll be doing a live remote. Listen to labor leaders across the state, politicians from across the state, and national politicians for 3 hours on Labor Day. As again, Civic Media and is so gracious to allow us to broadcast Labor Fest, which is one of the largest Labor Day gatherings in the Midwest. That'll be from 8 to 11. Calvin and I will be together, and thank all of you who made the show go. Thank all of you who always listen to us. You got a lot of different places you can go, but you choose to listen to us. Sandy, as always, great having you on, and we'll all rejoin one another again on Monday. Oh, on Tuesday. Oh, well, Monday.
Well, you're on Monday.
Yeah, Monday.
I'll see you on Friday.
Yeah, and Tuesday, Leroy Butler, the Hall of Fame Green Bay Packer, is going to be joining me again in studio. We'll see you then.
don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.